we are in, like I said, week four of Watchmen, and I believe God has been just pouring out his spirit in an unusual way, not necessarily manifesting it, but internally in me over the last 4 weeks. And I would probably look back and say really since this beginning of the year, but especially when COVID hit, and to really press into him and to really start believing him for the things that he has promised me as a person and as a man, but also for my family and for this church and what he has, and to encourage you in that, to start believing God in the midst of hardship and difficulty, because it doesn't matter what is being thrown at you, God has a solution for it. He has a solution. And so this really was an opportunity for you to get involved and to peek your head up spiritually so you can begin to see what God is seeing and how he sees it. Because if you could see it how he sees it, it changes your trajectory and where you're going to go from it. Okay, you understand that, right? And so in the middle of that, if you were to say, okay, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for what you're doing in my life and changing your perspective, all of a sudden you start to go up and you start to begin to see like God sees. But if you turn the other way, like a lot of people have done, and start to walk in fear, you start to regress. And all of a sudden the enemy starts to encroach on you. And so nowhere in the Bible does it talk about the enemy, he should be encroaching on you, or he should be winning. And so if we're allowing him to win, it's because we're allowing him to win. We're allowing him to win. And so it's not God's fault. Okay, let's just say that right now. It's not God's fault. It's God's fault. He allowed it. No, okay. He's sovereign. He oversees it. He sees it. But he also gives you an opportunity to fight against it. And so if he never gave you an opportunity to fight against it, how would you see what you're made of? How would you see how you could grow through it? That's how God does it. And so I can't believe I have this problem. Well, ask Paul. Paul had a problem. And Paul was used supernaturally in the New Testament to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And he prayed 3 times for God to take it from him. God said, "Now my grace is sufficient for you." And so I'm here to tell you today, guess what? God's grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient because it's causing you to lean upon him and not on your own understanding, and to acknowledge him and allow him to direct your path, because God has a supernatural work that he's doing in the earth today. It's supernatural. And so when you talk about a work being supernatural, it means that you can't figure it out naturally. So if you're trying to figure it out naturally, you've already lost. So you have to turn your eyes and say, okay, supernaturally, Lord, I'm not leaning on my understanding, but I'm acknowledging you. Thank you for directing my path. If your eyes were not on Jesus during COVID, you probably wouldn't have made it. You probably wouldn't have made it. Because there are a lot of people who didn't make it. I know there are statistics out as far as what's happening with people in isolation. Just be thankful that God's grace has gotten you here. Because the world is not in a great place when it comes to the perspective on this. But as a body, that we're supposed to be taking a stand and going forward in this. And so that's why we said, no, we're going to keep moving and doing what God's called us to do creatively. Because God's plan is not going to be thwarted. We're going to have to stand against some things, but we're going to do it. And so that separates success from failure. It separates it. Okay, well, I'm going to stop because it's not working the way I think it should not work. I'm going to stop. Well, you've already set yourself up for failure. You already have. If you say, okay, it's not working the way I think it's going to work, but I believe, God, you have something different for me. Guess what? I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to continue to move in that. And so you got to change your perspective. Change it. This is a great time. I was talking to someone the other day. This is a beautiful time to live. It's a great time to live. If you would just change that perspective, you'll start to soar. What a great time it is to be alive right now. A great time. Even in the struggle and the hardship, it's a great time. Because I want you to look at yourself now as compared to January. Look about where you are. Look at the fact of what God has brought you through and what he is bringing you through. Okay? And if it wasn't for that, it would have been something else. A lot of times we ask God, well, why was it that? And God said, well, it would have been something else I would have used. So we can't pick and choose what ingredient God uses to fix you. So whatever God wants to do, he's going to do. The word of this year was restore. Here's a prime example of pressing in and standing firm and saying, I'm not going to quit even though I don't have a house, I don't have a home, I got 3 kids. Okay, and God said, I'll take that faith and I'll take your life and I'm going to make it a trophy at my grace. And I'm so proud of her. Here she here today in her camel gear, just ready to go. Just in her camel gear because you know what? You're in a fight. You're in a fight. You're in a warfare right now. You are in a fight for your life. Your life. You understand what's on the line right now, right? Your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if you don't think that's true, check that. Check that. Check how you've been thinking. Check how your emotions have been rattled. Check the struggle of your will of whether or not you're going to follow God even when you don't see him. Check that struggle. And so you are in this place right now where God has put you so that he can do some work on you. Now, some of you have been looked up here like, why do we got Plato up here? Okay? All right, you just don't worry. We're going to get there in a minute. But, it's a little bit, right? It's kids' church. Here we go, right? So you got to see it differently. It's like, oh, we're going to kids' church. Yeah. So Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 says this, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. He said, they're nothing like the way you think. So if you're trying to think like I am, I far outweigh and supersede that. The parallel that we see in Scripture is that Scripture talks about we can't instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. What a parallel. We've got the mind and memory of Christ, yet we can't fathom his ways and how he does things. We know with Israel that he showed Israel his acts, but he showed Moses his ways. It's different when God shows you his acts as composed to his ways. There's more intimacy that's involved with ways. That it requires more. When God says, I'm going to show you how I do it and why I do it, it requires you to be in a position of vulnerability for God to show you that. Anytime you're taught something, the person who is teaching you takes their time out to break things down for you so that you can understand it. And God says, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break some things down so you can understand it. But even if you don't understand it, know that my ways are higher than your ways. Just trust me. That's how God does. Just trust me. You're not going to get all of it. So if you're trying to get all of God, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Well, what does that mean? You've got the fullness of the Christ living inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit, yes. But you're not going to get all of God and what he's thinking and how he wants to do it. You're not going to get it. It's going to take all eternity for you even to try to figure that out. So right now you're in that betrothal period. You've got the Holy Spirit and God said, I'm coming back to get you. But in the meantime, here's your engagement ring. Here's the Holy Spirit. You're going to learn and walk with him. And I'm going to allow him to show you some things, but you're not going to see it all. The Bible talks about we see in part right now. But when we finally get to heaven, we're going to see fully, even as he sees fully. And so let's not get messed up in this part, okay? Let's not get messed up in 80 years, 90 years, where it's just a small fraction of eternity. But let's trust God to know that he's bigger and that he's over it all and that he's going to work it out in the time frame that he is set for it to work out in, okay? And so whatever that looks like for you, we got to trust God in it. Okay, and the first thing we have to understand is that it may take some time. It may take some time. You're asking God to work out things in your life, and God said, well, it's going to take some time because not only is it part of my plan and my purpose, but you got yourself into some stuff, and so it'll take me some time to get you out of it. Because not only does it affect you, but it affects other people. So if you don't think that your choices affect other people, look back over your life. They affect people. And so when I go to work, remember, I'm not just doing a work in your life. I got to do a work in their life also because I'm about reconciliation and restoration. And so I've got to move some things around. I got to change some things up. I got to move people out of the picture, bring other people in. I got to go to work so that I can get you back to where you need to be. You know, God's a great rehab tech. He knows how to rehab you. And he rehabs you through the wilderness sometimes. He rehabs you through trials and difficulties and hardships in order to get you back to where you need to be. Ask Israel how that felt when they left Egypt and how they went over into the promised land, or they were supposed to go over into the promised land. God was just trying to rehab their thought process. But it didn't work. The younger generation made it. The older generation died out because sometimes we get stuck in our ways. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can lose out on the opportunities that God has for us because we try to do things our old way. Instead of doing it God's way. And God says, I'm trying to change it up. So if you keep blocking my hand and slapping my hand out of the way, I try to do something new, we're not going to get anywhere. Not going to get anywhere. How many ever had a defiant child? How many of you were a defiant child? Okay? So, Toby, I know. So, yeah. So you just know you're a defiant child, right? And so it takes time for that defiant child finally to get it. Okay? Sometimes they don't get it unless there's a hardship. And finally, they learn to mind enough so that they can make progress. And it's the same way in our life. If we don't think we're stubborn, we're lying to ourselves. We're lying. And so God says, I've got to come in and break down some old ways and get you soft in some areas so that I can speak to you. I can allow you to see my love so that we can actually move forward and do this thing together. But we got to break off some of that old way. We have to do it. And so one of the ways we break off the old way is by showing you that there is a new way to do it. There's a new way. Okay, and so the new way is we've got Jesus Christ coming down to earth, dying on a cross for us. Now that we have an opportunity to have a relationship with him, he's a new way. We're going to follow him, okay? Well, it's going to take some time because your nature's got to be renovated. Well, what do you mean? I have a new nature. You do have a new nature, but let's not, by show of hands, ask how many of us still deal with some of the stuff from the old nature. We don't have to, but we're just like, I do, we all do, right? So we have to be honest with it. And so it's a renovation project that God is doing. It's going to take some time for you to get there. How many of you have been praying for something you felt like for years? It's just not, I don't see it happening right now. I just don't see it happening. But little by little, guess what? You're moving closer. You're moving closer. You're inching closer because that's how God does it. He does it little by little, and you're starting to see glimpses of it. Oh, I'm starting to see the goodness of God now. I'm starting to see his grace as he lifts the veil and you look back over your life and see, oh, I see where you took me from. I see how you kept me. I see how you were thinking about me during that time when I wasn't thinking about you. And still you love me. Still you provided for me. Still you reached out to me. I see it now. And so it begins to help you trust more. And so as anything else, God will make sure you learn the lesson. Make sure you learn it because he wants you to see how good he is. But it's going to take some time. And one of the things we like to talk about in here is how God uses the boomerang effect. How when God sends something out, and if we don't get it, it's going to come back around again and hit us again. Hit us again because he wants us to get it. And so, all right, you missed that opportunity. All of a sudden, that boomerang's going to come back again. And so I'm going to put you on whatever it is. I'm going to put you on your job. I'm going to put you in front of people. And I'm going to say, okay, now speak. I can't speak. Yes, you can. Get up and do it again. And every time you do it, you get stronger doing it, okay? And so it could be that. It could be in ministry, a position that God's calling you to do, and you're struggling with it, and God said, I've called you to do it. Guess what? Get up. Do it again. Do it again. And so because I'm trying to break some stuff off you, how are you going to become all that God has called you to become if you don't do what he asked you to do? I don't. It doesn't work. So unless you get in and allow God to break off some of the limitations that are in your life, you'll never see what you're capable of. You'll never. And so God is going to put you in positions that are uncomfortable. They're going to help you see the way he sees. He sees you differently the way you see yourself. You know that. Okay? So as you think in your heart, so you are. So when God looks at you, God says, all right, I see how you see yourself. I see yourself totally different. A lot of times when God talks to you about things, he's not even talking to you about your situation sometimes. You know there's stuff going on. God's, I'm not even looking at that. I'm looking at where you're going. We get so wrapped up in what is, and God says, well, what can be? God says, I know what can be. I'm just trying to push you toward that. But we've got to get over the arguments that we have with ourselves, and so God can push us forward to what can be. That's why God always gives us a promise. It's called a promised land. Remember when he told Israel, I'm taking you to the promised land. I'm not just taking you out of Egypt just to wander. I'm actually taking you somewhere. God said, I didn't just save you so you can just sit and wonder what I'm going to do with you. I'm actually taking you somewhere. Not only eternity is going to be great, that's where we're going eventually, but I'm actually taking you somewhere in this life because I have something for you to do. There's a purpose I have for you. I didn't just save you to drop you. I didn't just heal you to let you just squander. I've got something for you to do. So if I keep coming around and smacking you upside the head, it's for a reason because I want you to see I got something for you. I don't make mistakes. I don't make mistakes. I've called you for a reason. I already know you're messed up. I already know you have issues. I already know you struggle, but I like the struggle, he said. I like the fact that you're struggling after me. I'm into that. I'd rather you be struggling after me than not wanting me at all. I'd rather you be fighting for me than not fighting for anything. God said, listen, that's what I'm looking for. But it may take some time. You know, God's into that. God wants your faith being perfected. God is interested in you coming after him, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I feel that even in my spirit. God said, if you'll continue to come after me and push after me, you will find me. You'll find me. But you got to keep pushing after me and doing it by faith. It can't be by feeling, because your feelings deceive you. They deceive you. And the enemy would like nothing more than just to deceive you. But if you just look with eyes of faith and do it, you'll see that I'm at work. I'm at work. Christian, do it by faith. Then you'll see breakthrough. Because the just will live by faith. I don't know if I can serve. Serve. Do it by faith. I don't know if I can give. Do it by faith. I don't know if I can really help the organization. Do it by faith. You have an opportunity to make an impact. Do it by faith. Do it by faith. Yeah, do it by, yeah. Well, so much. Because you're not getting it. Yeah, do it by faith. I get up every day. Guess what? It's an opportunity. Opportunities are everywhere. Doing it by faith. Yesterday, I was at my daughter's cheerleading thing. We need someone to hold the chains on the field. No one's volunteering. I'm like, oh, I felt the urge. I'm doing it. Thank you, sir. I had a great time. I'm on the field, me and this other dude, just watching the kids tackle each other, hearing all the coaches cuss, yell. It was great. Right in the middle of it, just seeing the action, man, but knowing that it was for a reason, just seeing the kids get out there and just learn, and learning so much, just as far as a coach trying to encourage their kids to learn what it is at this young age to not back up, but to fight, block your man, knock him out, do what you have to do, because someone behind you is coming through. You're making a way so someone can make progress. This is what we're doing. We're trying to get down the field. Yelling out, Tony, why'd you miss the block for? I don't know, coach. I don't know. You should have went outside, but you went inside. But the whole process, there is so much going on during the game. There's people yelling everywhere, direction, coaches. That's all it is, coaching, trying to get kids. You miss that. But coming from a good place, because they want them to what? Win. Win. And God says, I want you to win. I'm just trying to put you in place so you can win. Malia, you went outside. Next time, guess what? Go inside. You won't miss them. And the crazy thing about it is that we do this as people. There's opposition and difficulty coming at us. And the one thing that you see sometimes with these kids is that they start skating backwards as the guy's running toward them. Right? They start, because they're afraid. What do I do? And finally, coach has to tell him, you can't run backwards. You got to get in position to make the tackle. And I wonder how many of us are running from stuff. And God says, if you just stand in front of it, you'll be able to see it and make the tackle. Wrestle it down. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but you can't do it backwards. You can't turn around with your armor on and say, I got him. You fighting like this, and some of you got raptor arms like me. Your arms aren't strong, long. You got to stand up, and you got to hit a leg. You got to do what you can to get on top of the guy and just tackle him. One of the most beautiful things is when I see a younger kid tackle a big kid, because he gets what he can and wrestles that thing down and leaves proud. What in your life have you wrestled that you felt proud that I wrestled that thing down? And you know how long it took me to wrestle that thing down? But I'm telling you what, I got that thing on my shoulder. I kicked the crap out of that thing. I said it. You know why? Because you say it too. Y'all too nice. You got stuff coming at you at all times. And unless you understand the severity of that, you will play too nice with an enemy that you're supposed to be defeating. I'll say it again. Unless you get to a position and you realize the severity of the enemy that you're fighting, that you will lose every single time because you're playing too nice. Stop playing nice. What do you think the object is? You know, it's so funny. It's so timely because we're in the season and everyone's excited about sports being back because thank God they can watch something and feel like part of something. But there's so many lessons to be learned. When you look and you see the object of someone actually being in the ring and being on the field and actually trying to impose their will on someone else, you understand that as a Christian, that you have the ability to impose your will on the enemy. That you don't have to take what he's throwing out at you. You have the ability to refute every argument. You can refute it. You don't have to accept it. You can agree with the fact that, yes, that might have been the old me. That it might have been what I used to. I don't do that anymore. So I can refute that argument. So every time I refute the argument, guess what? His power lessens. The grip lessens. But I have to continue to do that. Listen, ever see, and Brock, you probably, you know, anyway. You ever see a team who's out there who's just on it, offensively, on it? They're running over people. They're just... They know where to be. They're on point. Their routes are great. They understand what's happening. They are imposing their will on the other team. And finally, the other team says they quit. And if you don't think teams quit, once their will is broken, they quit. If there is enough pressure put on until finally they say, we just can't beat them, they let up. They start olaying. They don't try as hard because in their head, they've already lost. You understand that you have the ability to make the enemy think that way? You have the ability to understand that no matter what I'm throwing at this guy, I cannot penetrate him because he's already beaten me in his head. I already have made up in my mind that you've lost. So when I go in, we might struggle, but guess what? I'm going to win. And every time that mentality I have when I go in, it changes the game. Because I don't allow that stuff to come up and overtake what I already know to be true. And it doesn't mean that I don't have to appropriate what I already know to be true to the situation. Yes, I do. But I already know when I go in, you are not winning today. I already know who Jesus is and what he's done. And so my will, I'm imposing my will on you. Now, I'm not waiting for you to come to me. Guess what? When I get up, I am coming to you. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I will look you straight in the face and say, I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will do what God has called me to do. And what I can't do what? No, I will do that. Okay? I am going to be that. And I am going to do that. And guess what? And when I do that, it weakens his power because he realizes, hold up. Man, God's grace is sufficient for that one. And so when he comes against me, he comes against heaven. No, you're not going to win today. You're not breaking me down today. No. You know why? Because when I already know, when I start already from a position of victory, I can't win. I can't lose. Watch, think about it this way. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already in a position of victory, right? That's where he's at. He was already victorious before he came. And so I'm already start up there. I'm not working to get there. So I start there. So that when I feel like, all right, things aren't going the way that I think they should go, okay, I already know that I'm victorious in Christ and that it may take some time, but I'm going to see that thing manifested in my life. Because I'm not serving a God who's working up to win. He already won. I have to get to a position where I see it won. I see it done. And so it's over. So there have been times where I've played sports that I've gotten to a game. I already knew going in, this game's already over. I already know we're going to beat them. I already know. In my head, I already saw it done. Because I knew and had the confidence to know who I was with and what my team could do. I already knew it. So when I get up, I already know we're going to win this thing. You see, it's the one job of a coach to understand and know his team. It's the other job of a coach to motivate the team to get them to play to their fullest capacity, because if they can do that, then they start to see progress, and then the sky's the limit for them. But unless the players see themselves like the coach sees them, it does the coach no good to be able to all of a sudden cast vision, do all the work, because he can't do all the work for them. He has to get the players to do the work and buy into the system so that they can start to grow. Then all of a sudden things start to change. But the player have to see themselves that way. Now, sometimes the players just don't cut it, and they got to go somewhere else, because this system that we're doing is not for them. It's for someone else. But this is how we're going to do this here. And so you begin to see that in organizations, that as they do it well, all of a sudden they begin to change and things begin to develop. And because people, you hear the phrase, they what? They bought into the system. Have you bought into God's system of doing stuff? And that's a tough place to be at, because you got stuff coming at you from all angles at all times. All times. You got the enemy throwing stuff out. You got the Holy Spirit whispering stuff to you. You got your family. You got stuff of origin trying to get up in. You got stuff coming in. You got to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying at the same time and go out and win. Got it? Okay. But you just got to get out there. Unless you get accustomed to the warfare and the battle that you're in, it's going to be hard for you when you get out there to realize, oh, I'm in a real battle. You know, you came out fighting. Right? You didn't have to work up to it. We just don't remember it. But you came out fighting, and the fact that you're here is a miracle. And your whole life, God has been watching over you, protecting you, getting you to a place of where you are now, and saying, okay, I want to do something in your life, and I'm going to break some things off. And just realize, understand the severity of the fight that we're in. Severity of it. I told Miss the other day, I said, we were on a conversation, and I said, now you realize the severity of the warfare that we're in. We're discussing something. Because sometimes even the people that you're with don't see it. Because they don't see like you see. And if you're not careful, that the way you see God can change based upon the way other people see God. And your relationship with God has to suffer, because someone else can't see it like you see it. And if we're not careful, instead of walking in the fear of God, you walk in the fear of man. And what happens is that I end up having to walk through hell because you can't stand heaven in my life. So if heaven is operating in my life and I'm seeing on a different trajectory, I don't have to bow down and submit myself to the way you see it. And what we have right now is we have a lot of people that perspective is changed because they've tapped into maybe what the world is doing and the way the world sees it. And in reality, it's not the way it is at all. And God sees it differently. And so if you feel like you're bending and your will is bending towards something that is not godly, you need to stop right now and turn the other way. Heaven is real. Yes, it is. The reality of heaven is real in your life. And guess what? It's going to cause people to be uncomfortable. Are you okay with that? 1, 2, 3. But that's something that we have to reckon ourselves and align ourselves with. So I've got this Play-Doh up here. You know, each one of these Play-Dohs represent different colors, and yes, some of you can have it when we're done today, if you want. Okay. All right, so okay. You're thinking, man, I love purple. Purple's my favorite. Yep, there we go. There's one. Purple's my favorite. So I have this Play-Doh here today, and it represents who we are. It's who we are. You know, we're the clay, the Bible says he's the potter, right? So he goes to work in our life, and so it's going to take some time for him to go to work, and sometimes he goes to work, and it's different. He uses different stuff in order to get us there. It's not the same for everybody. But the one thing we do know is that God will, he'll mash some things. He'll mash it sometimes. He'll beat some stuff up. He'll break stuff apart, because you got all these ingredients in your life, all of them. Like we talked about, you got family of origin, you got secret sin, you got struggles that you're dealing with, you got vocation that you're believing God for, all these areas of our life, and God says, I want to make this all work out, because what I'm trying to do is trying to help you become a whole person and walk in the fullness that I have for you. God says, I want fullness. And so I'm going to go to work on you. It's going to take some time, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. And so a lot of times God will go in and just start mixing stuff up. Just start mixing it up. Sometimes you feel like this, right? All the stuff is colliding together. You got all this stuff. So you're having a hard time because you're thinking through like multiple lenses in your life. You're not thinking through like one clear lens. You're thinking through daddy. You're thinking through mommy. You're thinking through the stuff that you want, all this stuff. And so it becomes a big glob. And so it's hard for you to see God clearly in what he's doing. And so God says, all right, we got to go in and we got to start untangling some of that stuff. Because if we don't untangle some of that stuff, my life can't get in the way it needs to get in. Because then you won't believe me the way you're supposed to believe me, because you'll be worrying about how it was or how it should be, and you'll be operating on the faith of your parents. And I don't want you operating the faith of your parents. I want you operating standing on you, okay? And so I got something specific for you to do, and so I need to, all this stuff's got to start. I know it's together. I'm going to start pulling it apart, though. Just so you know, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Because you got so many layers to you that underneath that, there's pearls. There's pearls down there, but we got to get through all this stuff. And so I'm going to start pulling stuff apart just little by little, and it's going to hurt. But just so you know, remember a few weeks ago I gave you my wisdom teeth analogy? Yeah, I'm going to get in there real quick. I'm going to put a leg up on a chair. I'm going to get real quick. I'm going to get up there, put some pressure on that thing, and I'm going to start pulling stuff apart so we can go to work on it. And so God goes to work, and you're having a hard time realizing what God's doing. And God's saying, I'm just trying to get rid of the old ways so I can put some of the new in. And so God does this, and sometimes we'll back up a little bit and look at it and say, okay, it looks good. It looks good. All right, need some more salt. You're the salt of the earth. Need some more salt. He needs a little bit more milk. I need you to go back to the basics and understand who I really am and what I saved you from. Sometimes it's just a remember of going back to the basics and remember how it was. And now where you are today. And then look at it a little bit and say, okay, he needs a little bit of heat. He needs a little heat. Because there's some stuff in there that's not burning off right. Not burning off. And so God will allow you to get into a trial and start pulling some stuff off that you have to believe him for, because he's burning that stuff off. And you know what that looks like when stuff begins to burn? It hurts. Because it's dying. And those things are dying so that true life can come through. That's how he does it, right? True life comes through. And so all this stuff is happening so that you can begin to see that God is good. He's actually good. All right? But it's going to take some time. But as you begin to do what God has asked you to do, it'll work if you work it. It'll work. The process will work if you work the process. Well, what does that mean? That means, well, whatever lane God has called you to walk in and whatever path has you on, as you continue to do it, apply the principles that he's teaching you, guess what happens? It starts to work. You start to see faith. You start to see change. Ooh, I'm not as unhealthy as I was. I'm not as deficient there. I see strength coming up. Hold up. I don't bow down to that unhealthy emotion anymore. Ha! Things begin to change. I'm not leaning where I don't need to lean. I'm not dysfunctional there anymore, because the grace of God is good. Now, I'm standing on my own two feet now, feeling real good about life because of what God has brought me through. And I recount the goodness of God and his grace. It's so good. And we can look at the goodness of God in every season and every aspect, no matter what's happening in our life, no matter what he's pulling apart, no matter what he's pulling in. It doesn't matter. God is still good because it's working for my good. But if you work it, it'll work it. But if you abandon it, it's not going to work. So you got to get back in it. Sometimes what we do is we pop out because it's hard. I get it. It's hard. But get back in it, because all of a sudden, guess what's being produced? Discipline. You're learning to rule. Your emotions aren't checked. Power, love, self-discipline. Say it again. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Power, love, and self-discipline. Power, this is what, right? Isn't that what he's after? Wait, no. Blessing, status, success. No. Power, love, and self-discipline. Because guess what? When those are in order, blessing, success, health. Power, love, and self-discipline. Everything else is built on that. Because I have to be able to have the power to hold success. if I don't have it, I'll succumb to it. And all of a sudden, my foundation becomes success. And then when something really happens in my life, it falls apart. So God goes to work, builds the foundation. So when I throw the load of success on you and blessing on you, now you can hold it. Because I'm in the cracks. I'm holding it all together, he said. And while I hold it together, you can hold it. But I got to build it that way. It's going to take some time. And we're going to pull some stuff apart. But guess what? Every time you trust me, every time you push in, every time you don't want to do it and you do it, guess what? Your foundation gets stronger. And then we can do this thing together. And every time the enemy throws stuff at you, it falls off. Because he's not the issue anymore. He's not the issue. It's me and God now. All you do is give me the ability to see that God is at work in my life, just so you know. And you need to start telling him that when stuff comes up. Thank you. Thank you for being used by God. Because you see yourself in position and in victory as opposed to being a victim. Church, too many people walking around as victims, victims, victims. You don't know. I don't need to know. You don't know. I don't need to know. And neither, when God looks at you, he says, that's the past. You're not a victim. Appropriate my victory. It hurt. Yeah. So to being on the cross. Victory is possible. As a Christian, being a victim is inevitable in some way or another. You didn't get something, somebody didn't give it to you. I'm sorry. You came out, you were born into a world that was already fallen. But thank God that Jesus came in, redeemed that, and is redeeming your life. So now, as things are being put back together, you're seeing more of who he is, and things are beginning to work. And when you look back, you see that, you know what? He worked it out for me. He worked it out. And he is working it out. I think sometimes we think, well, I wish God would do it a different way. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Well, I wish he would do something different. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But I can trust him to know that he's working something out supernaturally so that I can be victorious not only in heaven, but here. Here. Why? If there was nothing to be done here, when I got saved, God would have just beamed me up. I would have been out. God said, I got something for you to do here. And so it's possible to be victorious now. And so far be it. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm going to do it. So, and that's a good place to be at. Because not everybody wants to be there. It's crazy, right? Not everybody wants to win. It's like crazy when we think about that. I don't want to win. And especially when it comes to Christianity, we've already won. But I don't want to win here. Why? It just takes too much work. There's too much. It's isolation. I gotta you know, love God first. I mean, that's got to be a priority. I mean, I can't live the way I want to live and then come in and ask God to forgive me. I mean, it doesn't work that way. No, it really doesn't. I mean, love God first. He's already got the victory. He knows what I need. And then I got to be involved in community. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. Because they're going to help spur you on. And then what, I got to use my gifts? Yeah, that's the idea. So I can't just come to church and when the offering bucket goes by, pass like a little token thing, do the sign, and then leave. That's it? I can't just do that? Isn't that religion? But isn't that what a relationship with God is like? A lot of people think that's religion, right? I did my thing. I took my communion. I'm out. Wait, hold on. But what about the rest of the week? What is God trying to show you? What's he doing? Remember, you don't live by your own faith. Now you live by the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. So what is he showing you this week? What's he doing? What's he talking to you about? I mean, who are you involved with the community? Who are you serving? What's happening? I don't know. I just go to work. And you miss out on the blessing of being what a Christian is. It's a blessing. We get a bad rap sometimes, but let's change that. Change the name of the game. Be the Christian that you always wanted to see. Who cares what they did in the 90s? You be the Christian. You be it. And then all of a sudden things will begin to change. Because you're not worrying about what everybody else is doing and how they're doing it. Guess what? You're just doing it. So pop quiz today. Here's the pop quiz. Are you the Christian that you want to see? Are you the Christian? If other people would look at you, would they want, you know what I'm saying? Take stock. Would you want them to see what you're seeing right now in you? I'm telling you, there is such a mandate and a responsibility as the band comes up. There's such a mandate and a responsibility for us to represent Christ now in this world. Now. You understand that you have the authority that when you go out, demons have to go. The plans and purposes of the enemy, they don't have to come to fruition. But you have to understand that you do have an enemy who's going to fight you tooth and nail on stuff. He's going to fight you because in his mind, he thinks he's still going to win. I want you to think how warped that is. I want you, let's look at this for what it is. He already knows his destination, but in his mind, he thinks he's going to win still. And so the way he wins is by taking your joy, by taking your peace, and eventually for some, taking their faith. And so they don't have a relationship with God anymore. They're not walking with him. They turn away and they say it's not worth it because God's not real. He says it's not real. But I thought he was in your life real. When it really got down to it, when I thought about stuff, it's just not real. Taking your joy, your peace, your faith, and eventually your life. And so what started out promising ends in destruction. Because we don't realize the victory that we've already been given. And right now, I just feel the Spirit of God urging his church, not this church, the church, to rise up, to stand up and say, will you understand, just as we sang this song today, that the power of heaven is roaring within you, that you don't have to bow down to the whispers and the cries of an enemy who is already defeated. I've already given you that authority. It's already in you. Will you just go out and realize that and take it to him? Hey, team, take it to him. Take it to him. That's what a coach does. Hey, today, get out there. Put a hat on somebody. When you find somebody, hit them. Get ready. And we laugh. And we laugh about this. But you know what? It's life. Make a play. Get out there, do something, and have that mentality instead of being like, I just don't know if we're going to win today. We got the equipment. We got the armor. We got it all. And we go out. We're going to lose today. You're not on my team. Go on that guy's team. You don't come in with that mentality that says we can't win and it's not possible. You're sitting today. I need someone else to go out and say, no, we're taking this mountain. We're taking this team. I don't care if they're 6'5", and we're all 5'8". Bless God, we're all Italians, okay? And I don't care if we're 5'8", but we're going to go out and we're going to take this team because we know who's inside of us. We worked hard. We know what's up. And just the mentality just to get there and do something rather than to wait. You know, when we come in our church on Sunday morning, church, don't wait for me. Just be in order. Be where you need to be. Take up arms. Do what you have to do. Knowing, hey, listen, this is what we're supposed to do today. These are our responsibilities. Guess what? Do it. And when the coach comes in, we're going to do this today, guys. We got this. Spirit of God is here. He's going to do it. Yes, he is going to do it today, isn't he? God is good. He's going to do it. And guess what? Tomorrow, when you wake up, it's going to be Monday. It's going to be a great day. You got an opportunity to affect change. Put a hat on somebody. Come against something. Block someone. Don't just stand there. You know, some people do that. Some kids were doing it. They just don't just stand there. Do something. Because remember, you want other people to see you as you want to be seen. Hey, you know, I am more than a conqueror. I'm victorious. You know what? You'd be blessed to have me in your life. See, you know, you come in too low sometimes. You'd be blessed to have me in your life. I'm telling you what, God's really doing some great things, and we're going somewhere. You ready? Are you ready? You blessed? And what I'll do is that's our weed out people who don't need to be there. Because people, if they, man, we can go all day with this stuff. Listen, if people can't, they can't handle you as a person, the confidence that you have, it's okay. But you're supposed to be imposing your will on the world. And as you begin to do that, things begin to break off. But the moment and the times begin to back off, all of a sudden we're not as effective as we think we should be. And there's a push for us to get on the offensive. That still hasn't left from January. When I said it's offensive for us to go back and take back what has been stolen. It's offensive still. It's not defensive. Well, it doesn't, I don't care what COVID did. It's still offensive. He's just a defense. Offensive. And so when you do that and you break through, all of a sudden you think that things are possible. They're possible. Let's all stand to our feet. How many of you know God just wants to break open some things in your life right now? Just wants to break some stuff open. Just break it open. How many would say even to right now, I'm probably not the Christian that other people need to be looking at right now. There's some areas of my life I'm like, that we're working on a little bit. Thanks for your honesty. See, that's good. No one's looking for perfection. I'm probably not the way I need to be, but there are some things that I know that I'm not offensive about that I should be. I'm not more passionate about that like I should be. I'm not walking in authority like I should be there. Listen, as a church, one of the things that we want to do in this next season, we want everybody going in the right direction. Right direction. Listen, everyone's giving. Everyone. Everyone's serving. Everyone's making an impact. Why? Because as we do that, the church is effective and the church can make an impact. And not only that, but all of a sudden, blessing. Why? Why do we want everybody walking in there? Because when we start walking in power, love, and self-discipline, all of a sudden, then God can bring things into our life that we can hold because we're already doing the things that are essential. Listen, we're past that. We're in this season where we're coming in. We got to start moving there. And the team's got to be ready. I mean, we got stuff to do. Team has to be ready. You got to be in place and position and say, no, I'm ready to do this. And that means just some of the essential stuff's got to be, we got to get some of the essential stuff down, right, Sharon? Essential stuff. Essential. Guess what? You are essential. Essential. Well, I don't know why I can't do that. Well, why? Let's talk about it. Why can't you do it? I don't know. I just haven't seen God's blessing. Start to do it by faith. We go by. Oh, man. The church as a whole in our nation is impotent to the fact because we don't do the essential things well. Okay, what do I mean? We're not as effective like we should be because if you look at church in general, when you talk about, we'll use an example of giving, okay? 100% of people in churches do not give. They don't give. Let's say that number, I'm going to give you a generous number of 30 to 40%, maybe, okay? Take a little deeper. 20% are doing 80% of the work. Well, we got essential people, they're doing the work, but they're good, they're serving. Okay, but what does it look like when, guess what, the church begins to say, now, you know, I'm good at that. And they begin to get involved and just start serving. And then things begin to happen. Then we become effective. 11 men in a field are necessary in order to be and to win a game in football. 11 men. Not 10. Not 13. They need 11 at one time. God needs his church. Everyone on the field playing. Using your gifts. Because once you do that, doors begin to open. I'm telling you, if you'll do that as we finish out November and December, I promise you, you'll start to see God open some doors for you. If you will start to come out of the COVID phase and into the Jesus season of November and December, okay, and come out of that and say, okay, I'm putting you first again, Lord. I'm doing it. I'm coming on time. I'm doing it. I'm giving. And I'm doing it. I'm doing it by faith. I don't care. I'm giving it. Lord, I'm giving you 10 bucks this week. I just don't know. I'm giving you 10. I'm just giving it. I tell you, if you'll do it, God sees it in faith. You'll start to see stuff just lift. Because you're not holding no more. You're giving. This is for you just to break stuff off you. God has blessed me. God has blessed my family. Nothing to do with that. Had everything to do with you. And as a church, being able to do what we feel like God has called us to do, but also what God wants you to do in your life. Your life. What has God called you to do in your life? In this world. I got to release stuff. It's got to go. All right, here, take that. Take unforgiveness. Take this. Take my identity. Take all the stuff. Whatever you do, just get me ready. And just start emptying your pockets of stuff. That's... I'm going to keep hitting it, guys. I'm going to keep hitting it. And guess what God does? Keep hitting it. Keep hitting it. Lord, that's annoying. I know, isn't it? It is annoying, right? Guess what? Because I want it. Thank you. I want that. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness today. Thank you, God, for continuing to hammer. Continuing to go after areas of our life that are not submitted or that you just want to work on. For those that are in here right now who are just... they're in that process where they feel like you're wanting to change stuff. Thank you, God, that you give us the grace to change, the ability to change, that your grace is sufficient. The Holy Spirit is working inside of us right now, and we just trust you in that process. Thank you so much for the gift of your Son, salvation. We thank you for that. We just recount that. We recall that, just your gift of salvation, the goodness that it was. Thank you for coming after us, saving us. God, counting us worthy, giving us, God, the ability to call you Father. Thank you, God, that you are our Father in heaven, that you have good things for us, that you love us. Thank you, God, for saving us from stuff and calling us to stuff. Thank you that you've called us to rule and reign with you. And in the meantime, we've got your Spirit to work with us. Thank you, God, for working with us. God, taking us out of dark places and hard areas. God, giving us the ability to see you. And as we allow you to move into our life, thank you for the light shining in the places that are dark, exposing things, having them come out so that you can heal them, God. Thank you for unforgiveness going, God, bitterness going. Those things that are just been shackled over our life for years. I pray that people won't buy into the lies of the enemy anymore, that they will walk in freedom and faith because they know who you are. Thank you so much for your revelation of who you are in their life as we finish out 2020, that there's going to be face-to-face encounters with you, that we will see who you are, that you never left us, that you've always been good. You've always been on our side. You've always wanted to do a work. Thank you, God, for setting us up now, putting us up, propping us up on your lap, God, just telling us how much you love us, but also giving us the will to impose our will on the enemy and the authority, God, to take back those things that are ours as Christ followers. Thank you today that our minds are yours. Thank you for soundness of mind. Thank you, God, for just power operating in every area of our life and that spirit of love that's going to break down walls, that's going to break down hindrances that have been stopping people, Lord, from experiencing you. Thank you so much that you've given us the keys to the kingdom, that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. God, we lose faith and freedom in our life and the lives of those people that we come in contact with. We are excited and thank you so much for the gift and what you're going to do in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.